Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another trip report to get you out the door and down the road to work here on a Monday. We're heading down to Arkansas today to talk with listener Ella about her trip to Disney's Yacht Club for 9 nights back in May with her dad, who you may know from social media, Dr. Kai, a great guy. We talk about getting a cabana at Stormalong Bay. Not many folks have got to do that. Touring the theme parks, about what it was like there in that transition period where you had to wear masks indoors, but not outdoors. Transportation issues when the buses were still socially distant, and lots of great meals and fun stories. And we talk about the upcoming 50th anniversary down at Walt Disney World. It's a fun, fun discussion. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great services they offer you for your next Disney trip. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so very much to our patrons who allow us to put these podcasts out 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of your support that we can do that. And our patrons get a 5th show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. For more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1941 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a tremendous weekend. And wow, what a weekend it was, because, just a little bit late last week, we had the signups for Marathon Weekend, and most everybody that I saw out there, most of our lizards got in for their marathon weekend distances, whether it was 5K, 10K, half full, goofy or dopey, whatever it is. But here's the thing. The weekend is now over. We're getting ready to go back to work. So did you get your training run in this past weekend? I'm just saying, you're on the clock now, because I was thinking about this. We typically sign up for the races in April. Okay, it's August. Get going. We got to double up. So get those training runs in and take us with you wherever we go, because these, we help you pass the miles, or even just cutting the grass or doing the dishes or what have you. We just want to be a friend in your ear to talk Disney with you 3 times a week. So that's what we're doing today. We're getting you out the door and down the road. And speaking of going down the road, we're heading south from my studio here in St. Louis, Missouri, down to Arkansas. And Ella's back on the show again. She was on once, and this is the second time. Ella, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I got to say, happy birthday to you. I know it's just a couple days ago, but happy 18th birthday. Did you have a good one?
Yeah, thank you. I did have a good one. We went to Memphis to the Graceland Conference Center, where they have the archives exhibit. And so we saw that. That was amazing.
So I saw some friends posting photos of that. Mojo Disney, Mary Jo, Collins, she lives in Tennessee, and she visited. So what kind of stuff did you get to see there? Because that's within striking distance of where I live. It's, 4 hours from here.
They had some older documents there from, like, the very beginning of the Disney Company and the start of the archives. They had a room set up like their reading and research room, and they had the big, like, parks and movies room, which was amazing. They have an actual Rex from Star Tours in California. They had a Mayan priest from El Rio del Tiempo. They had one of the alien figures from Great Movie Ride. They had a few costumes from Fantasmic. They had some costumes from movies. They had Belle's dress from the live action was really pretty. And they had a few props there.
That's really cool, because I didn't know they had so much theme park stuff there. Now, I don't have hardly any time, because I have all these Disney trips booked all of a sudden because of all these race weekends and something called the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World at the beginning of October. I don't know. I would like to squeeze it in, but we'll have to see. But that sounds like it was a lot of fun. And I know your stuff. Now, let me ask you this, just kind of before we get into your trip. Have you ever been to any of these Destination D kind of events or any of these, you know, where they do like the parks panels and stuff like that? Because it sounds similar to that. Has your dad ever taken you to any of those?
I've done a few D23 events that were in Disney. I did the 35th panel. I did a panel on the day of the last show of Illuminations. And that panel was amazing. It wasn't hosted by D23, but it was still a really cool panel.
Nice. Yeah, I remember I watched The Last Illuminations with your dad. It was a sad day. Oh, man, I miss it. And I know you do, too, because you're one of the biggest Epcot fans that I know, you and your dad both. So, okay, before we get into the trip, last question, because I've been asking all my guests this, and you are one that I'm dying to hear the answer to this question. So we have the 50th anniversary coming up. You know, I know, your dad knows, everybody knows. But if you had the power to bring back any kind of promotion, parade, firework, attraction, what have you, you get to bring back anything from the last 50 years, even if you didn't experience it, if it was before your time, what's the one thing you would bring back and why?
Does it have to be Magic Kingdom?
Or no, it could be anything that Disney theme parks have done.
Oh, I think I would have to say the original Imagination or Horizons.
I knew it would be an Epcot. Well, for those that don't know, because I know most of our audience does listen to the audio version of the show, but as we're recording live on the video, of course, Ella's got on her Epcot Forever shirt there. So that's, and I almost bought that same shirt when I was down the trip on the Last Illumination. So I was like, we'd have been twinsies. So anyway, that's a good answer. I'll go with either one of those are acceptable, and everybody else is nodding all around the world. Okay, so let's talk about your trip. You guys went down in May. And you were graduating high school, I believe, and that was kind of the big reason for this trip. But you got to do the planning on this one. You kind of took over from your dad. So talk to me about putting this trip together in May.
So most of it I planned over spring break, actually. Driving up to Branson, we stopped in Fort Smith for a while because my cousin Elon had a gymnastics meet. So there, when he wasn't actually doing anything, I was planning days and restaurants and things like that. And I didn't use any kind of crowd calendar doing it. My dad made his own using a crowd calendar. We ended up going with his days, but all of my restaurants. And originally, I wanted to stay at Beach Club and ask for one of the rooms that's right at Epcot's back door, pretty much. And but Beach Club wasn't quite open then, so we stayed at Yacht. We've stayed there before for 35, and Yacht's just super pretty. I love it there. So we stayed there again, and we got on the far end, pretty much. So, not very close to Beach Club at all.
That's where we were, actually. We were there this summer, too, at Yacht Club, and we were at that end, too. We were at the end closest to the Swan and the Dolphin. Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get you your steps, because that's a big hotel. But so you want a beach, but beach, again, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, things have moved so quickly that, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Boardwalk was closed. Boardwalk Inn, the villas were open, but Beach Club was closed. You said you'd stayed there before. So did the hotel, was it a good experience? You guys were there for a good long time when it was nice and warm. Did you actually, because I know you guys are big theme park people, but did you spend time at Stormalong Bay or do anything at the hotel itself?
So we stayed there for 9 nights, which is the longest trip I think I know I've done and maybe my dad has done. And so planning it, I wanted to do a Disney Springs supper. And so thinking we could do a pool day because we're staying at Yacht and we have Stormalong Bay, which also neither of us had ever been to. And so for our pool day, Dad really surprised me by getting a cabana there.
Right. Those things, yeah. That I'm telling you, getting a cabana is like winning the lottery. They are so hard. They're harder to get than the cabanas on Disney Cruise Line. And no kidding. So you need, I hope you thank your dad because I don't know how he did it, but he got one. So that was amazing. Now tell us how was that? Because it's like the mythological thing, you know, it's like the unicorn. Everybody hears about it. Nobody knows what it's like. So what was it?
Yeah, it was really cool doing it. I think there are four of them there, and I think we had the best position one because there's this little kind of cove of them, and only one of them sits right on the beach of the sand bottom pool, and we ended up getting that one. And so when you get there, they tell you that you have a private waiter for Hurricane Hannah's, which is the pool bar there, and you get included fruit tray and a dessert tray.
Nice. Oh, man.
And there are, all you can eat, snacks and cookies, and there's a Bluetooth speaker and a TV, and there's a couch and, a few chairs, and there's a safe. We put our phones and backpack in for most of the day.
That's really cool. I mean, it's basically like having your hotel room right there on the sand in Stormalong Bay, and you got a waiter. And I mean, all I know is I've eaten a lot of buffalo chicken wraps from Hurricane Hannah's because that's my go-to over there. And of course, all the desserts you trade, stuff like that. So did you think it was, was it as cool as you expected, or was it something that, you would do again? I mean, what'd you think about it?
I would definitely do it again. I feel like if you're doing a full pool day, it's definitely worth it to do because it just makes that experience so much better. You have your own personal area to go when you're not in the pool. There's no line for the pool bar. You have to wait in to get your lunch. And just almost everything is brought to you.
Nice. Oh my gosh. That's like being on a cruise, but you're at Yacht Club, which it's kind of the same nautical theme. So if you get one, it sounds like it's worth it. I'm glad your dad, that is being kind of in the lap of luxury, being spoiled for the day at the pool. Now, you mentioned you guys wanted to kind of have supper at Disney Springs. So did you do a pool day all day, then go to Disney Springs at night for dinner?
Yes, that's what we did. We ate at Morimoto Asia.
Oh, so good.
It's a place that we've always wanted to go because we love Iron Chef, Food Network. We love all that. And I know that Dad, he said he's watched every episode of Iron Chef Japan multiple times.
It's okay. Let me tell you my story about Morimoto's. Okay. I don't watch any of that stuff. You guys know I just watch sports. I really don't even watch movies. I watch Big Brother and I watch Survivor, but that's about it. So I don't know who Morimoto is, but I got sent down on a media thing. When they opened Disney Springs, when they opened changed it from Downtown Disney to Disney Springs, I got to go down. They showed us all the restaurants, and you got a little they gave you a sheet of paper, okay, you get to go to these five restaurants, these other people go to these five, and y'all went around. So I went in Morimoto Asia's, and I didn't know that was a person. I thought maybe that was a city in it, I knew it wasn't a country, but I was I don't know what Morimoto is. So anyway, I go in there and it's beautiful, right? Those big chandeliers. I'm like, this is one of the most gorgeous restaurants I've ever seen in my life. And they let you sample all their foods for free at these media things. So I am not kidding you. I ate so much food in that thing. All the little chicken legs and oh my gosh, their food was so good. I've never been back. I need to do that because my family's not super adventurous. I don't know that they would like it, but I thought the food there was amazing and it was so elegant. I mean, was it kind of the same thing for you? I mean, I'd imagine since you're fans of that, that show and the person who runs the restaurant, it was a good experience, but was it what you were expecting?
It was amazing. So we got some of the spare ribs. I got one piece of sushi to say I had sushi from there. Dad got what's called the Burenbap, which is a dish that he actually made and won a Iron Chef episode with. And then I got the some kind of fried rice because it had a little bit of duck in it, but Dad didn't want to share the duck with me.
See, my family, if there's duck, they're out. That's it. They will eat fried rice, but chicken fried rice. That's as exotic as we get in the Rallman household. If there was duck in it, it'd be like, nope, no, the duck might be from our lake. Yeah, no. That's so funny because I know that is high quality food, but we're simpletons. So anyway, okay, so I'm going to jump in though and talk about you guys going to the theme parks because you guys are huge theme park fans. You appreciate the history, the backstory of everything, and you told me that you have some pretty interesting transportation stories and stories in the theme park. So looking back here a couple months back, this trip pretty recent, what do you remember from times in the parks? Like, what stands out as far as what you did?
Something that really stood out this trip was that the lines weren't really socially distanced much, but they still extended very far back.
Right. I saw the same thing. Yeah, exactly. Because I was like, okay, the Toy Story line, we get in line at One Man's Dream because of social distancing. Wait, no, there's no social distancing. Why are we way back here?
Yeah, but it still moved. It seemingly moved a lot faster.
Right. Right. I don't know why. That's crazy.
No fast pass line.
Oh no. Okay, I gotta ask you. Do you want fast pass to come back or not?
No.
Oh no, you're like Ricky. Oh no. Oh no.
I'm very much a fan of this, like, even though the standby line is longer, it still moves much, much faster, and you don't have those long periods of just waiting and not moving at all.
That's a good point. That's good. I hear you. No, that 100% true. But I had this discussion with my wife today. I said, I'd rather have three attractions that I can walk on and then just kind of do little stuff the rest of the day. But if you're looking to do a lot of attractions, like I'm sure you do, and I know Ricky does, it is better. Like if you're trying to do 17, I just gave that up. I'm not doing 17 attractions. I need a nap. I can't do that anymore. I just can't. So, but I get it. There's two sides to it. So, just tell us about that though. I mean, besides noticing that, how was, touring the theme parks overall in May?
It was definitely very hot. So it was during the point whenever we didn't have to wear masks outside, but you had to inside and on rides and in the queue, even if the queue was outside, and sometimes in the overflow queue. So whenever we were on Smuggler's Run one day, the overflow queue extended super far backstage, and we had to wear our masks there too. And there's no shade at all. It was super hot, super sunny, and we had to have our masks on. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But we did get to see backstage, so I was freaking out the whole time.
See, I waited in that exact same line where we went backstage for Smuggler's Run when I was there when was I there? I can't remember, but we went the same way backstage at Smuggler's Run because the line was so long. And yeah, you're exactly right. That is not a comfortable place to stand if it's hot and sunny. But especially, I mean, with your mask on, that's another thing. Now, I wasn't there in that period. I would think that like, okay, mask, no mask. Did you guys struggle with like, oh my gosh, I forgot to put on my mask, I'm walking in? Or did you see other guests doing it? I just think like when I was there, you didn't have to wear them unless you're getting on transportation, which I still a couple times like walked on a bus like, oh. And put it on, you know, because I wasn't trying to not wear it. I just totally forgot I hadn't had it on all day. But I mean, were you noticing that in that period?
Every now and then we would forget to put it on, but after almost every ride we got off, I had to tell Dad he could take his mask back off.
He's just having a good time. He doesn't care. I love it. Nice, nice. Okay, so were the crowds horrible then in May? I mean, because you guys were there at the end of May, and school's getting out for like most public schools in the Midwest and the South.
Well, this was sort of right before.
Okay.
So my school, the seniors graduate a few weeks before the rest of everyone gets out for summer. And so I think I graduated on a Saturday, and I left the Friday of the next week.
Okay.
Schools were still in session in most places, but because I graduated a little bit before, I was able to go before the crowds were higher.
You took advantage of that. That's smart thinking. You know, it's like, hey, this is my one time. I get out before everybody else. We're out of here. We're getting down there. So, let me ask you this. So you guys kind of put your plan together with your dad, came up with the kind of the days to go to the parks based on the crowd calendar. Did it work out? I mean, I know you guys really dive into the statistics and to looking at, you know, all the data that you have to plan a great trip. Did it seem like you guys did pick the right parks on the right day, or did you see any anomalies, anything that, you know, seemed a little different than what you were expecting?
I think there was maybe one day like that. But overall, I think we ended up picking the right days for almost everything. And there ended up being very little crowds. Like, I have a few pictures of in Magic Kingdom, like by the carousel, where it's normally just a sea of strollers, you see maybe 10 strollers.
Oh, amazing. There were so many when we were there last month or a couple weeks ago. It was crazy. Strollers for miles. Okay, I got to ask you this too. You're a huge Epcot fan. Your dad is too. We kind of already talked about that. Epcot, especially Future World right now, is just a mess. And well, now we have the Epcot monorail back. I didn't even have that when I was down a couple weeks ago. You obviously didn't have that either. What do you think about Epcot right now? Are you still able to enjoy Epcot? I mean, we also don't have the international cast members back in World Showcase. Kind of give me your thoughts on the current situation at Epcot. It's kind of the period, like the pain before the hopefully the fun, maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely still enjoyable. It's just kind of hard to get used to. Like, World Showcase, it's kind of weird not having all the cast members from their countries. But Future World right now, you just have to figure out how to navigate.
Right. And you got to get ready to walk. Because it's, yeah, it's a long walk. Right. Right.
It is a long walk.
Yeah. So, here's the one thing, and I just noticed this the last few times I've been down, because I'm not like an Epcot historian like you and your dad are huge fans of the history of it. I know the history and I love Epcot, don't get me wrong, but I know some people are even more passionate than I am. The thing I miss is just, and I know they probably had to take it out for this expansion, that they're going to do in Future World, but I just wish they could have kept Fountain of Nations. It just seems like that was just, it kind of cooled off Future World. It gave kind of a center to Future World. It just, I don't know what it's going to look like when they're done, but I just wish they could have kept Fountain of Nations. I miss that big time.
It was always really pretty to just stand and watch it.
Yeah.
And then I was really looking forward to in this sort of new Future World was the big event pavilion. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that may be on the chopping block now.
But I just wonder about that, though, right? Because they're going to, it's in the dead center of Future World. Something, are they just going to put in just a grassy area? I hope not.
I don't know, but it would be really cool to do rooftop parties up there.
I know. That's what they promised us.
Amazing.
They promised us all that before when they started knocking down everything we loved there for a while. Yes. Anyway. All right. So let me ask you a couple other things. So now you guys spent some more time in the theme parks. Give us a couple stories from just touring besides, the lines and the crowds and stuff like that. What kind of fun adventures did you have?
You mentioned walking, so I can talk about our Animal Kingdom day, where other days I think we walked about 9 to 10 miles, but on our Animal Kingdom day, we walked closer to 12 miles because there ended up being Dinosaur was closed for most of the morning. So we ended up walking halfway across the park for no reason multiple times. But we got there super early and we had all of the big attractions done in an hour. So we ended up doing everything there is to do at Animal Kingdom, and except for Cali, which we didn't really want to do.
Right. You got to be in the mood to do that. Now, you mentioned earlier, though, you guys went to Branson. Did you guys go to Silver Dollar City real quick? I was curious. Did you go on that part?
I've never been to Silver Dollar City.
Oh, same. I've only been one time. We went back in June. And did you guys ride that ride called Mystic River Falls? It's kind of like Cali River.
We didn't, because it had a 4-hour wait.
Okay. We waited for quite a long time to get on that thing. And I mean, I thought you got wet on Cali River Rapids. Uh-uh. Because, you saw it. But for the folks that don't know what it is, it's this ride. It's a raft ride, like Cali River Rapids.
But this big elevator.
No kidding. It's there's an elevator that I think takes you up 6 or 7 stories. Takes the entire raft. You kind of back into this thing. You get on a platform. All of a sudden, you're going up about 6 or 7 stories on this elevator. Drops you off on a spinny thing. Mallory had a little toy that had balls that spin around and go down to the bottom. You go down that, then you're going through all the, water and getting, so it was insane. It's a fun ride. But yeah, I'm not a big raft person, but I said, I'm here. Let's get soaked. So, yeah, good call there. Now, let me ask you this. You guys do the trails and stuff like that, too, I'd imagine, with all that walking. I love the trails.
Yeah, we did that. We ended up going to the conservation station, which we've never done before.
You've never done that? That surprises me. You've never been back there to Rafiki.
Well, normally, we don't have time to, because the park closes really early. We don't have time to. But this time, because we did everything in the morning, we had time to go over there. We did everything there. That was fun. And something that was really cool is that So I had heard about this deal they had going on right after they redid all the Dinoland prizes, where if you're a pass holder, you could just pay $20 and get a prize and not have to play the games and try to get the prize. And so we intended on doing that and getting the plush with the dinosaur logo on it. And we got there, we told them about it, and they were like, that was only for right after it came out, and we haven't done that since.
I'd never heard of that. But see, for me, I'd want to play the game. I'm competitive. I'd end up paying $50 for the plush because I probably wouldn't be good at the game. But I'd be like, I'll get one more try. I've already spent $50. One more try. 51. Yeah, totally. That's
what happened was we ended up just paying $20, getting four tickets. And so we kind of searched around for the games that had the plush we wanted. And so we found one. It's the one where you have to throw the balls in the correct colored hoops. I think it's called like Comet Crash or something like that. And we kind of started playing, and then we realized that the plush we wanted was the extra large one. And in that whole table, there were only two of the right colored hoops. And so the first game, me and Dad both played twice. Neither of us got it in anything. On the second game, I didn't get anything. Dad's first two didn't get anything, but his very last ball, he threw it in one of those colored hoops.
Ah, nice.
We ended up getting our dinosaur plush.
Oh, very good. I was worried there. I thought we were going to have a sad story. Good happy story. That's awesome. So you guys go around the parks, you had all this time. Do you tend to just, because I know you like to do as many attractions as you can, do you guys kind of tend to like grab breakfast and lunch at quick service places and just grab a quick bite as you go? Or are you folks that, you know, sit down for meals a lot? Or you know, how does your dining usually work out?
Well, for breakfast, for most days, we found that at the Alien Compass Marketplace, they had this sandwich that was on like a pretzel roll.
I had it. It's so good. It's so wish I had that right now. Oh, it's so good. Yes, I 100%
agree. We had that like almost every day. Like walk into Epcot, we would like eat that on the way. Walk into Hollywood Studios, we would eat that on the way. I think we got it maybe four or five times. It was so good.
It's so good. It is. I'm not kidding. And it's a good deal too. It's not that expensive.
I know. And then the first day at Hollywood, we had a breakfast reservation for Oga's, and you know, on the app it said lunch, and we're like, that's kind of weird. So we get there, get our drinks, and we ask about breakfast, and then they said that they don't have breakfast anymore.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that actually, but yeah, I did see some Oga's ADRs pop up from time and again when we were down there for early, and I'm thinking I've been in there was at 9:30. Yeah, so what do they used to do for breakfast?
There was this big like cinnamon roll thing, and there were these overnight oats that were so good. Whenever I was down there in last August, I had the oats at Ronto's, like kind of just thinking that they had maybe just been there too. But now we found out that Oga's doesn't serve breakfast anymore.
Maybe they'll bring it back, hopefully.
Yeah. And so there was one time we got the blueberry Mickey waffles dish for breakfast in Hollywood. And for lunch, we'll normally do a quick service and sit down inside.
That's a good idea. So at the studios, you guys, here's kind of my new place to go for the quick service lunch. Because I used to be a backlot express guy, but there's something to be said for ABC commissary and the ice cold air conditioning. Did you guys go there?
We didn't go there. I think we did Ronto's one day because like Ronto wraps are so good.
They are. Yes, I 100% agree. So when I was down there, I like the breakfast Ronto wraps. Speaking of breakfast, those things are good because they have eggs. But my wife would not eat one. She said, I am not having a hot dog for breakfast. I'm like, I'm telling her, I'm like, it is not a hot dog. It is a breakfast Ronto wrap. That, see that guy up there going, shh, he's making these. She's like, it is a hot dog, Mike. I'm like, it is not a hot dog. It is a Ronto wrap. It is amazing. And you are in Galaxy's Edge. You're in Batu. Come on, give me something. Maybe she would not eat a Ronto wrap. So, oh well, my loss. One more for me. That's all I got to say.
Planning, we chose to eat at Be Our Guest, and when it came to the day of, we were kind of thinking, what should we have for lunch? And we had both forgotten until about an hour before that we had a BR guest reservation for lunch.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure how, but we both forgot we had a reservation for BR guest.
So tell us how lunch is there, because we haven't talked about that in, we haven't even talked about that restaurant in ages. So what was the experience like?
It was really good. I had the pork tenderloin and the French onion soup. And I can't remember what Dad had. I think it may have been a steak. But the food was really good. I think I liked their counter service menu a little bit better than the prefix menu. And so I feel like that would have been maybe a better lunch. But the break with the AC was very nice.
Yeah, that is key. I mean, no kidding. Ella is so right on this. And trust me, I was just there a few weeks back, and it is no joke. I mean, I switched from Backlot Express. And Backlot Express has air-conditioned parts, don't get me wrong. It's like half inside, half outside. So you can be in the AC there, too. But ABC Commissary, and I'm really into that buffalo chicken grilled cheese thing with steak fries. One of our listeners talked about it, and I had to get it, and I love it. But yeah, you do need to, especially this time of the year, if you're going down, you know, here in August, or even it's hot till November down there. That midday, just hit of air conditioning for 45 minutes while you're sitting down having a meal. I mean, it refreshes you. And I would imagine you guys are the type that stay in the park all day, or did you guys take breaks midday? No, you guys didn't, do you?
Lunch is our break.
I take a nap back at the hotel, but I figured you guys didn't. You just keep rolling. So that works out for you guys.
And then we normally do a table service for dinner. Like we did Tiffin's one night, and we shared like a steak and the lobster mac and cheese. And that's one of the best meals I've ever had. Everything was cooked perfectly. Like it had scallops with it, which are really easy to not do right, but they were perfect and everything was amazing.
That's great. I've never been there either. Again, family wouldn't enjoy it. I would not, because you know all the backstory of the restaurant itself. So do you appreciate kind of the subtle hints inside the restaurant that Joe Rohde and his, you know, other Imagineers have kind of worked into the restaurant itself?
Yes. Yeah. Like we kind of like notice all the artwork and things like that.
Cool. Okay, so I want to ask you a couple other questions, and I want to talk just kind of in general about stuff upcoming, because I don't get to talk to people that know all this stuff very often. So transportation-wise, what'd you guys have? Did it work out well, Disney transportation? I guess you guys flew down or drive? How'd you get around?
We always fly out of Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah, Memphis is just, it's right about an hour from where we live, so it's not too far.
Cool. So what about once you got there? Do you guys have any trouble getting around?
So whenever we were there, the buses were still very socially distanced and it took forever to get a bus anywhere.
Right. I remember that.
In the mornings, we would walk to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, and we would take an Uber to Magic Kingdoms to get there that like 45 minutes early for the park to open. And at night, we would either walk or take a bus back. And at Magic Kingdom, the buses back were terrible. The second night we were there, we waited forever and almost walked to the Contemporary and got an Uber.
I've done that before, yeah.
The first night, it was a super long line and I didn't want to wait. And so I was kind of looking around at other bus lines, trying to see what was short. And then when we got there, there was a bus already leaving the yacht bus station. So we knew we would have to wait for 3 or 4 buses. And so I was looking around and I noticed that the Riviera has a very short line. And so when I'm kind of standing by it, a bus pulls up to it. I tell Dad, come over to the Riviera line right now. Yep. And so we get on the bus to the Riviera. We take the Skyliner to Epcot. And we walked back to Yacht.
I'm so proud of you, because I did that exact same move when we were down there, when we were staying at Yacht Club. Because this is, now, I will say the buses were much, much better when we were there, because they were no longer. Okay, here's the thing. For years and years and years and years, I complained how they jam you on the buses at park closing, where, you know, you're holding on, you're like in somebody else's armpit, and, you know, you've been out in the heat for 15 hours. Who cares? You just want to get to your bed and your hotel. So once we had these socially distanced buses, which I understand you have to have, that was kind of the situation we were in. But now that everybody's jammed in there just like sardines again, I was just happy that the buses were moving a lot quicker. I could get home quicker. But it was the same thing. We had a super long after the Magic Kingdom. Like the whole queue, like the bus thing was filled up and it was going down further. I'm like, oh, man. So I was like, I got to figure something out quick because I was tired. And I did. I saw the Riviera. There was like nobody in the Riviera line. Here comes the bus with the Riviera on the marquee. I'm like, let's go. And everybody kind of looked at us like, where are they going? And I was like, oh, yeah, Skyliner, baby. We're just going to hop right over to the International Gateway and we're home. But yeah, and you know what? I think that's the thing. You got to go a certain amount of times to kind of think outside the box to come up with solutions like that. But that, I love that. That's genius. So it worked out for you guys?
It did work out. I think we got, it took a while, but we got there faster than what it would have taken if we waited for the bus.
Right. And even if it takes the same amount of time for me, I'd rather just be moving. You know, I'd like to be making progress than just standing there. That's just kind of my philosophy. All right. So let's wrap up this trip. Then I want to talk to you about a few things coming up, but, looking back, like any other stories or any highlights from this trip? I mean, it sounds like it was an amazing time. I mean, 9 nights at the Yacht Club, you can't beat that.
Definitely an amazing trip. Something very unique about it was it's the only trip that's been just me and Dad that there wasn't an event or a panel we were going for. It was just going to Disney, just to go to Disney and not for something specific.
I get it. I get it. I either go down for a race or for a podcast cruise or, you know, we go on one vacation usually a year where it's just vacation and it's the best because you don't have anything to do. You're just down there to have fun. That's what I tell the families. Okay, cool. Now, I got to jump in because you get this stuff. Okay, so we got so much new stuff coming up. We got Harmonious. We got what's called Enchantment, fireworks shows coming to the Magic Kingdom. You know, so many other new things coming. Ratatouille on October. You guys are going to be... Do I have to ask? I mean, you guys, you are going to be there. I know you're going to be there. Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I knew you were going to be there.
We have a Magic Kingdom Park Pass for October 1st, and we have an Epcot Park Pass for October 2nd.
Me too. We'll be rubbing elbows both days.
We'll be there.
Yes, same. Okay, so what are you looking forward to? Because, I mean, this is, I mean, you talk about something that's like in your lane. This is in your lane. This is in your dad's lane. This is way more than even me, and this is what I do for a living. I mean, what has you most excited? Is it Ratatouille? Is it Harmonious? Is it, you know, kind of just the whole celebration of the 50th? I mean, what are you looking forward to here in the next month or two?
Definitely just the celebration of the 50th. Something that I've kind of noticed and is that in their promotions for it, they're not using any, like, nostalgia. It's all, hey, here's new stuff. Like, they're not really catering to the people who are going to be there. That's something that I've noticed.
So you're talking about, okay, I've only seen one commercial on TV for the 50th so far. Now, as we're recording, I've seen, and I'm talking about the commercial where it shows the clock on Cinderella Castle, and then it kind of shows like a card catalog, and, you know, pixie dust comes flying out and everything starts lighting up. Mm-hmm. You're right. I keep telling myself there has to be another commercial because... To me, yeah. I mean, it does. It seems really cool that like Tower of Terror is lit up, and you know,
but
the thing is, they've been doing that, right? I mean, if you've been there at Christmas, Tower of Terror gets that, you know, LCD projection. I've seen it like that before. I've seen Tree of Life like it is, you know, with the Awakening and stuff, and Spaceship Earth will have the lights and so forth. But it's like they're not showing their cards or something here. You know, there's going to be a lot happening. But all they're showing is kind of all the park icons lit up and Mickey and Minnie looking at each other like, oh, isn't that cool? You know, like, okay, maybe the regular person is excited for that, but I want more. But I mean, maybe that's their goal to kind of leave us guessing. I mean, we know some of the stuff, but I mean, I there's got to be another commercial sometime, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it'd be cool to show that they have like a Parks History Museum, which I don't know if they're going to have. It'd be amazing if they had that.
Yeah.
But we'll know.
Yeah, so, you know, okay, so, again, kind of sidetracked me here, but our Six Flags in St. Louis, they celebrated their 50th anniversary this summer. They started in 71, too, and one of the things they did in their main, they have like a, it's called the Palace. It's just a place where they put on, you know, just like shows where, you know, dancers and stuff, you know, throughout the day. And instead, this year, they had just like you said, they had artifacts from the 50 years the park was open. They had, you know, uniforms from 1977 and, you know, old ride vehicles and, you know, pictures and all, you know, ticket media. And, you know, even folks that worked there in the 70s would come and speak and talk about what the park was like then. You know, for Walt Disney World, for a place that is so nostalgic. You know, when you look at Main Street USA, when you walk in the Magic Kingdom, it's all about nostalgia. It seems like you're right. Like, I mean, couldn't they do something in Town Square somewhere or on Main Street or just any open, you know, place that we could really celebrate, even in Epcot, say World Showplace, you know, really do it right? Because I mean, they do that with D23, you know, make it a 18-month exhibit where we can all see this stuff. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. And then if you're kind of going with what new thing am I most looking forward to, I would say it would be Ratatouille on the prospect of it's something that they're adding and not changing.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, though, because I'm curious about this. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway or Great Movie Ride? Because you're kind of nostalgic. Which one's better?
I think Great Movie Ride. Mickey and Minnie's is really fun and, like, it's cute. Something I've noticed about it is that it's very, very loud.
It is loud. It's loud. Like overstimulating. There's a lot going on.
And like Great Movie Ride was just, it was amazing. And like, I love the projections and stuff. And like also why they have that amazing Daisy, but Mickey and Minnie are never like that.
I don't know.
Like, they have the projected faces and all that. And I've never been a big fan of the projected faces.
Yeah, my daughter Mallory says the same thing, because it's kind of how Dopey's that way, right? In Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, he's got the projected face. Yeah, it's a little different look, and it takes a little something getting used to. But yeah, I'm excited though. I mean, Harmonious. Okay, here's the thing. Because I'm bitter. I'm a bitter Betty because obviously Illuminations went away, and that was my favorite thing ever. I mean, I was there with your dad the last night. A bunch of listeners. I keep telling myself this show has to be the most amazing thing ever done on Earth, because otherwise, why would they put these huge, I mean, and if you haven't seen them, huge barges in the middle of the lagoon, if it's not going to be the greatest thing ever to grace the Earth, it's got to be good.
There's such an eyesore there. Like, they completely interrupt your view of World Showcase.
I know, it's bizarre. It is.
In the barges.
I know, because my desktop wallpaper is a shot of World Showcase Lagoon from, it's the opposite way. It's from the American Pavilion towards Spaceship Earth across the water, and you don't have that view anymore. You know, it's like, it was the music. But I mean, I'm going to give, you know what, Epcot forever. I don't hate it. Some people hate it, because I love the music.
It's good. It's not great, but it's good. Like, the kites are really pretty, and I love how they used the Epcot music. I'm not a fan of how they redid it, but I like how they used it. And just like with the 30th and 35th fireworks, they would do this tag, and it was to Epcot music, and it wasn't redubbed. So you know that they can do something amazing without having to redub the music.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
And they have all the kid voices, which is something that everyone complained about with Tapestry of Dreams versus Tapestry of Nations, was all those kid voices.
That's true. That is, you know what? Scott and I talk about this, that because Wishes had the little girl voice, right? And then, what is it with Disney? Because it gets me, though. I think it's because I'm a dad of a daughter, or two daughters, right? So, it's like you hear the little girl sing. It's like, oh, my heart. I guess maybe Disney's playing on us like that. You know, like, oh, we're going to bring out the kid voices. Everybody's going to be emotionally attached to this now somehow. But you're right. I mean, the Epcot music's almost perfect. You don't need to mess with it. Didn't think about that.
Exactly.
That's a good point. Okay, well, hey, we're running long on the show here today, so we're going to put a wrap on it. But you know what? You're going to be down there for the 50th. I will be. So many of our listeners, Ricky, Pam, Scott, we're all going to be there. And, you know, recording stuff while we're there and talking about what we see and what we think. So we'll connect after the 50th and come back. We'll do another show. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Ella, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Glad you had a great trip. And make sure you tell your dad I said hello.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Trouble. Check them out today for all your Disney trip planning needs. You can still get down there for the 50th. Now, it's not a lot of availability, but we can find something. Hey, do you like camping at Fort Wilderness? No, there's a couple other maybe hotel rooms here and there, but you know what? Camping will probably get it done. But anytime you want to go to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, just drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that quote form. We'll take great care of you over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. put a Ronto wrap on it. Very funny, Corwin. Sorry, had to read the comments and jump right in there in the middle of my ad read. But, you know, if you shop online, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who make all this podcasting possible all around the world, 4 times a week. I can't thank you enough for that. Our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at @BeOurGuestMike. I want to hear from you this week. Also, Be Our Guest Pod and subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. It's the BOGP Open Line with #ScottyG. We talk about all the news from the week. And then we open up the phone lines and turn it over to you. And we talk Disney for an hour and it's your show. So join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on Facebook and YouTube. All right, we're going to get out of here. So thank you so much for hanging with us on this Monday. Hope your day is going well. So for Ella, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.